A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Hello there and welcome back to This Song Is Yours. I'm Simon Fink, your host, and I'm thrilled to have you join us for episode 320. We're wrapping up our podcast episodes for the year this week with our good friends at Heaps Good Festival. They're taking the festival across our fair country this summer with shows in Adelaide and Melbourne, and they're also hosting a special set of shows in Brisbane at the Fortitude Music Hall with a lineup across 2 days consisting of guests such as The Avalanches, Griff, Holly Humberstone, Foals, and our guest today, Subtract. Another festival favourite across Australia, having played so many of our festivals, Subtract joins us today for another instalment of what we're dubbing Heaps Good Chats. We're going to chat to artists from the lineup about their own festival experiences. So whether that be the first music festival that they ever attended, dream ones that they'd love to play one day, or their own key music festival moments here in Australia, we'll be chatting to them and seeing what punters across the summer have in store. Today, Subtract joins us on the podcast to talk about his first festival experience and the insane band that he got to see. I don't want to ruin it for anyone, but it is a live act that everyone wants to see once in their life, and he managed to at a very incredible stage. I'm not going to ruin the story, but it's definitely worth listening to. He also talks us through an experience at a festival over the last few years, which made him comfortable enough to lose the Subtract mask and think about how he performs moving forward. We also talked to Subtract about what Aussie fans can expect from Heaps Good in January. Tickets to both Heaps Good Festival and the special set of shows at the Fortitude Music Hall can be found in today's show notes. And we want to say a massive thank you to Mon and Layla from Scrabble PR for their help with today's episode. Now, before we embark on this conversation, please make sure you subscribe to This Song Is Yours on your preferred podcast platform. Stay tuned for all of our latest episodes by following us on social media. All details can be found within the show notes for today's episode. Let's get into it and have a heaps good chat with Subtract. Please welcome to This Song Is Yours, Aaron Jerome, a.k.a. Subtract. Aaron, hello. How are you going?
Hey, nice to meet you. Thanks for having me.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. I know it is an incredibly exciting time for a lot of Australian fans. Subtract is coming back down to Australia for Heaps Good Festival in the new year. And we're going to have a chat about some kind of festival stuff today. So once again, thank you very much for kind of coming onto the podcast.
No, it's really great. I'm very hyped to be returning to Australia.
I know that it has been, I did a bit of a count today. I think it's been 8 years since we last saw you down here.
It really doesn't feel like 8 years have passed, but it obviously has, you know, since I was last there. I was thinking it was, I performed at Listen Out Festival, I think was the last time around, back in, what was it 2016 maybe or 2015? I can't remember one of the two. And then, before that was like a live tours doing like my second album as well with Wonder Where We Land, doing like Fools Festival and that kind of stuff. It's exciting to return, you know, it's always been one of my favorite places to play.
I was going to say you are a bit of a favourite at Australian festivals, as you've just kind of mentioned. You played Fools, you played Listen Out. I think my my first interaction with you was at Laneway Festival.
Oh, yeah.
I want to say back like around the first album.
No, I think absolutely. Yeah, that was 2012. I think it was January 2012 or something like that. And I still remember that festival. It was such a great vibe, you know. Like, it was a real great group of people. There's a really interesting thing about it, actually, that in the time since, you know, I didn't really know a lot of the other artists playing. Apart, you know, we actually had a lot of people from my the label I used to be signed to were there. Like Jamie XX was there, and Sample was obviously in my band at the time. And Chairlift were playing. Caroline Polachek, as who's now she goes by. But Since that point, you know, I've worked with Toro Imoa, who was also playing that same festival that time, and I'd never met him at the festival, but, you know, then he's been on my recent album. And also, about a few years ago, I was working with Feist, and I didn't realise at the time she was the headliner back then, like, of that festival. And then, you know, we did a couple of sessions, did a few sessions in LA, like, a few years back. But, yeah, we had this discussion, it suddenly full circle, realised, yeah, like, there'd been this time when we done this sort of tour around Australia at the same time. So it's interesting kind of reconnecting with lots of people, seeing how kind of influential that festival had been, you know, with the lineup to like the longevity of it for me anyway, you know.
I absolutely love that. From a number of the artists that we've spoken to, it does seem that, and this is not to, you know, toot one's own horn, Australia does seem to have a thing with festivals, especially with like touring festivals where you've got four or five shows together, where you're able to build these relationships and kind of have some fun. And it seems that a lot of collaborations end up, maybe a seed is planted somewhere in Australia by people just being able to hang out with one another to then
No, I definitely agree. I think, you know, a common shared experience of somewhere new for everyone as well, plus also like kind of being just being around and relaxing a bit more, being around, you know, kind of just there, we're like performing, plus also being able to meet other people. But yeah, just creatively in a different space. And I remember doing things like, we did some radio shows on, I think it was FBI radio at the time and stuff, you know, like, and as well as like Triple J stuff. But I remember just doing these kind of, we're just doing like back-to-back DJ stuff, you know, kind of a like low-key club things around it, which is really fun, you know. So like, I don't know, Australia's great for that, you know.
Look, we'll very much take that. We've got to do, like, we're so far away from everyone else, we've got to be able to offer something unique for a festival experience. I was wondering if you might be able to kind of take us back to your first ever festival experience as a punter, as going as a gig attendee.
Well, my one's kind of interesting. Like, the first time I ever went to a festival was with my brother, and we went to this thing, which is quite well renowned, you know, in the UK, but it was like the late 90s. And I was like kind of in my early teenage years, basically. But like, I was really fascinated by electronic music. And I pushed my brother to make us go to this event. It was called Tribal Gathering. And it was basically the first time that Daft Punk ever played in the UK. And also Ronnie Size's first ever show. So like, I got to see, on this event, I saw so many people for the first time ever. And like, the first time I'd ever seen kind of dance music, I'd never been to a club before at that point, you know. So the first time I saw it was in this mad festival environment with kind of, you know, like a happy hardcore tent, like a kind of, you know, US garage tent, and one which was just like, you know, kind of French house. There was like, I saw Chemical Brothers live, you know, like... I don't know, Carl Cox playing, all these mad, like crazy, crazy sort of legends of people. But yeah, seeing Daft Punk, you know, playing that event, I've never seen them since. It was the only time I ever saw them. Was it this one thing? But it was incredible. It was one of those moments that like resonated with me and made me want to get involved and do that, you know, as my kind of occupation. Even though having no idea how to get there, I wanted to do it.
You've absolutely smashed out of the park. You haven't done things by halves in terms of first festival experience. Daft Punk is a pretty pretty strong contender for like best headliner ever. Yeah.
No, exactly. And that was back in the day before their mask robot phase as well. You know, it was kind of 1997, you know, when they were on their first album, Homework. So yeah, and like, I think, God, yeah, Ronnie Size was one of the things that really like, you know, I remember vividly as well, because it was his first ever show, and he had this whole like live band format where he had drums and like an upright bass player, but then he had like all his sequencers and kind of like his Atari ST, which was like the best sequencer at the time, I suppose, you know, for making beats and stuff. But like, he had that on stage with all the computers rigged up and all this stuff, and I just was captivated by this idea of that electronic music could also be live, and vice versa. You know, you could have both elements. It didn't just have to be playback of songs, you know. And that's what I saw with both Daft Punk. You know, they had, you know, years later I saw pictures of it, and it was just like they had racks and racks of gear, you know. It was just like a studio basically on stage, you know. And that stuff is like, you know, and then Chemical Brothers are not dissimilar, you know, they have like 30 keyboards or something, you know, on their stage setup. Stuff like that definitely like has influenced me along the way, you know, of going, not being shy of performing live, you know, taking live stuff and messing about and just seeing what happens on the fly, not necessarily being like, oh, this has to be, you know, kind of just a playback show. As a lot of electronic shows have become, because LED screens and video and lighting's become so prevalent everywhere, you can kind of hide a bit, you know, and that takes over. But I've always been of the school of like, performance should always be, for me, is an important part of it, you know, that kind of like the live performance part.
100%. Do you remember, I guess, having seen those kind of bands and those elements and bringing it to your own project, do you remember your first festival experience as Subtract?
Yeah, like that was cool. Actually, I don't remember the first festival now because it's like sort of blended into one, a lot of these things. But like I was obviously DJing a lot as Subtract to start with, you know. So I was generally getting my feet playing at places in front of audiences, DJing, which kind of gave me more made me more comfortable with like being in front of people, you know, and like understanding the different styles of like festivals there are, you know, whether it's really electronic, whether it's like warehousey kind of thing, you know, or it's like a more indie based thing, you know, like your Glastonbury's, whatever, or something in America, where at the time I started out, it was very EDM heavy, you know, it was all like kind of Skrillex and, you know, these people headlining stages, and it was just like mad lights and really loud brash stuff. And my stuff sounded really quiet and like, you know, kind of the opposite at the time, you know. And I was like, how do I, you know, trying to, my live stuff started off on a very small scale, you know. We were doing things to like, I remember going to play in Germany in Berlin, and basically like me and Sam were there and like four people showed up. Two of them were Mode Selector who just basically come to snoop on us to see what we were doing. But actually there was no one in the audience. So we kind of learned the hard way playing to no one, you know, and then it kind of built fairly quickly, I suppose, you know, to where there was an audience in front of us. But yeah, it kind of, you know, you kind of learn. I managed to learn before I even got to like larger stages, you know, like just being able to free myself of there being rules as such, you know. One of the things I definitely wanted to do as Subtract was break down like not being.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Not being basically slave to other people, other musicians, you know, because I wanted to make it fully live, but I didn't want it to be like, oh, I've got all these pro people on stage, you know, so therefore I can sit back and just, you know, plod along pressing some buttons behind the scenes, you know, when actually in the studio, all I do is create, I play synths, keys, drums, bass, everything, you know, so like, and sequence and mix and engineer it. So like, then I'm like, why can I not do that on stage too? But it takes a bit more confidence to do it in front of an audience versus doing it on your own in, you know, kind of a dark room, you know, with no one there. But then translating that to where you've got, you know, 20,000 people in front of you, is like something you just got to like kind of start to get rid of the kind of the things in your mind that might put you off doing it, you know? So for me, that was the barrier really of just being confident enough to go, look, I've got a new drum machine this week. I want to take it on stage and see what happens, you know?
So I absolutely love that. I know that, I think it was, and please correct me if I get any of this story wrong. I think it was a music festival in the last few years that has maybe changed your perspective on things. And it's why we've now got Subtract Unmasked, if you will. I think it was the Dialed In Festival that maybe you kind of see things slightly different. And I was wondering if you could just talk about, I guess, the power of this festival and what happened to allow you to now as we said at the start, you both subtract and Aaron now.
Yeah. I think there's multiple levels. That was more, I think this festival was obviously like a point where it sort of validated me showing myself versus and that kind of representing who I am and what my music is. You know, it was basically a festival, it's in East London, and it's like, I think they're on their third year now, and it's not a massive thing, you know. It's like, I think they had like 5,000 people at the last one, which is quite large compared to the first one I went to. But like, it's predominantly like a South Asian electronic music festival, and my wife made me go to it. She was like we need to go and investigate and see what's going on. So we went down, but like, I was just I suddenly felt like a thing of going, oh, look, there's other people around me. And now there's not so much a thing where you feel like you have to hide behind something to have validation. I didn't feel like there were any gatekeepers suddenly, you know, to why or who would listen to my music. And it was really interesting chatting to people there who had no idea that I was Subtract. And it just became a thing where it's just like, wow, we had no idea. You've been so hidden for so long, you know, that it's just been a thing that there were a couple of people who did, but on the whole, it sort of became something where they like, oh, felt prouder about something. And I felt like there's something about, since I started creating music, a little bit of having a mask, especially in electronic music, became a bit of a caricature of something, you know, and it felt a little bit like, oh, this is a voiceless, kind of cartoony aspect to it versus it actually having sincerity and emotion to the music. So I was like partly feeling like through the years that, you know, the way things are in the world as well, I was just like, I don't feel like that's a necessary kind of visual prop I need anymore. In the beginning it made sense because it was like I wanted to focus on the music and not to be so like me having to present it to people or have to be the face of it to sell something, you know. And obviously in that time since, social media took off and everything went the reverse way where it's like, yes, you are literally now here a vehicle to just like basically tell people about your music before the music's even heard, in a sense, you know. But in a way also it's given a strength to people having power to like autonomy over themselves, which before you needed like a certain label to like you or a certain radio DJ to play your songs or a certain like club person to be into it, you know. And I feel like some of that's broken down now. So having that ability to be able to like tell other people they can do what I did, you know, like do it with the freedom of just being yourself, you know, and not necessarily doing what I did, well, not doing what I did in the sense of having to hide to exist within the electronic space. Anyway.
100%. I do kind of love that. And I love that it, I guess that festival in that moment allowed, I guess like that clarity to be able to be more yourself and not have to. I don't think there was a reliance on the mask. I think, as you kind of said, it was just a thing that allowed you that anonymity. But like, I'm glad that we're able to kind of be more free and open with our conversation about it. And so thank you very much for indulging me with that story, because I do appreciate it. I know that it must have been a big turning point for both yourself and Subtract.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, as one thing, you know, obviously I created a sort of visual persona, which everyone kind of connects with in a way, you know, like there was an immediacy of both the fact people saw a mask and they knew the music, you know, and both, it worked both ways. Hear the music, you think of the mask, in a sense. So kind of breaking away from that is a strange thing to do for most people, you know, when they're trying to be like, you know, we want people to know about, you know, like, and all this stuff. So in some ways, I probably made it hard for myself, in a sense, you know. And I found new boxes are being created as well, especially in the music industry, in a sense. People found out I was like of South Asian heritage, and suddenly the opportunities I'm offered are like ones based on that, you know, versus now based on being kind of like from a certain dance genre. You know, before they were like, you're a dance producer, and I'm like, I'm not a DJ slash producer slash anything. You know, I made full records, full albums with storylines, you know, throughout. And it wasn't like I was just making music for the club, and it was like, you know, reliant on some other person's direction to kind of create where I was going next. You know, my things have always personally followed my own ideas and storyline to where I want to go to next in terms of albums. You know, I don't really follow anyone else's path in that way. So yeah, I think it made more cause for like being myself.
I would 100% agree with that. I know that there's a lot of fans in Australia are excited to see you. We've got heaps good in both Melbourne and Adelaide. And there's a special set of shows in Brisbane at the Fortitude Music Hall with yourself, the Avalanches, Holly Humberstone, Foles, Griff. I'm curious how the live show now might have changed for yourself with that kind of change in not using the mask. Have you found that the live aspect has had any major shift at all, or is it just very similar, but it's maybe now you've got better vision of the audience, of the crowd?
True. That's one thing for sure. I can actually see people. one of the main things is, like, every record I've done, I've tried to evolve my live show as well. You know, the first album, it was just a two-piece, which is myself and Sampa. Second album was a three-piece, basically myself, guy like TK and Jimmy. At one point before that, had Fabiana Palladino, who writes records with J. Paul. I don't know, she recently put something else out. She was in the band before. And then now I've kind of gone to a four-piece. So basically I have another singer called Layla, who's like the predominant vocalist on that album, kind of singing through the set and stuff. So it's kind of grown a bit. I feel like the other two players have kind of been more of a constant since my second album to now. You know, I kind of, in some ways I'd say, you know, like Tame Impala is a band, but it's also just Kevin. Similarly, in my live show, I've kind of built a group of people who will play around me. And I feel like there's a level of confidence to experiment a bit more now. You know, I feel more confident to mess about on things, you know, or try different techniques or stuff, because I challenge myself for between each of those different eras, you know. And I feel like my band grew a bit as well, where they feel more confident to not just be like sitting and doing the least, you know, possible. They can sort of follow my direction in terms of, if I go off piece and go, oh well, look, I'm extending a song by 2 minutes, they can follow it. They're not just like totally lost in that moment. Nothing's like, you know, by the book or just following a path. But I think touring right now, I think, is quite difficult, you know, because obviously there's, especially in the UK and Europe, there's the cost of living crisis, you know, like, and I think post COVID, you know, and the pandemic, there was an element of re-engaging with fans in a sense, you know, and like making people wanting to go out to things, you know? So like, I think in a general sense, like being able to perform to people is so exciting, but it's not as simple as it used to be, in a way, you know, of just going, oh, we put on sale this thing and everyone will show up in that way, you know. There's certain things which can have that magic, you know, like viral moments these days, like TikTok things will become something which is so large and impressive that, you know, tens of thousands of people will want to buy a ticket for it or something. But actually, there's a level of like, what I'm trying to get at is that trying to be able to go way beyond the boundaries is something that's still something I'm very ambitious to do. But to get to that point will take some levels of changing things up. And I'm definitely like trying to experiment more with my show from now through the next year, you know, to like work out how I can be more creative in a sense and put on something even more visual, I suppose, you know, as well as musical. That's the levels basically, but trying to marry those up also within tight budgets for touring as the artist.
Of course.
You know, it's the hardest part, really.
I can very much respect that. Well, yeah, I know that there's a lot of Australian fans excited to see yourself and the songs from the new record, The Rat Road.
Yeah.
And also songs from the previous records. As we've said, I think you are a bit of a festival favourite here in Australia. So I think people are just excited to have you back at the core of it. I was wondering if we might be able to finish today on if there's a key festival moment maybe set in your mind that you kind of think of as your favorite set. It might have been as a punter, it might have been a subtract you attended and you just happened to see this band. Is there one band or set from a festival that kind of stands out as the one that is closest to your heart?
Oh, that's a really difficult one, isn't it? I'm like, I can't. Yeah, it's hard to put a finger on. You know, there are moments I've been at festivals and something magic's kind of like happened. You know, and you feel like there's a certain energy which you can't get anywhere else. I think one of the ones that I vividly remember is going to a festival on an island once and seeing Sigur Rós playing, but actually I couldn't see them because I was like in another field, but I could actually hear it. And it was kind of this ethereal, like, emotional feeling that you could feel with, like, I could see the wind in the trees and stuff. And it had this sort of moment that reminded me there are things which sound and feel right within a certain space. I don't know. And it was just like this mad sort of on the side of a forest, basically, in Ireland, you know. And it was like, it always connected with me. I don't know, like another, I have to try and remember these things, you know, like all these festivals. I don't know. Another one I really enjoyed was like playing at Governor's Ball myself once. And it's in like, actually it's not Governor's Ball, it's called Bonnaroo Festival. And it's like near Nashville in Tennessee in America.
Yes.
And we once did a set and then it had this lineup where D'Angelo came on and did this whole set with Questlove from The Roots afterwards. It was like a jam session, but he was on stage straight after we finished. And it was like, and this one stage, and his was like a secret set. And it was like this thing which just happened out of the blue, but could only have happened there. And it never happened again, you know? So that's something which kind of like, you know, is quite exciting. I think, I don't know if people in Australia will remember back on my first album, I used to bring Disclosure on stage with me, and I don't know if I remember doing like Sydney Field Day Festival before they blew up, you know, and I brought them on to like do covers of their songs in my show. So I think some, you know, like I love those moments where you can like do things with guests which only ever happen once, you know, may never happen in another environment, you know. So yeah, kind of.
I absolutely love those. Well, yeah, those that sound like some absolutely incredible moments. So thank you very much for sharing those with me. Aaron, aka Subtract, I very much appreciate you coming onto the pod today. We're looking forward to seeing you at Heaps Good Festival, which is taking place again in Australia in January, and those shows in Brisbane as well at the Fortitude Music Hall. But thank you again for your time today.
No, thank you very much for having me. Yeah, I'm looking forward to being back there.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.